season. It's been 21 months since we've seen a regular season CFL game. Many people will be excited about it, Dave. And there's also a lot of questions because don't really know what to expect from a lot of these teams. You know, Winnipeg's got injuries, of course, already. They're two lead running backs. When you scour through the depth charts of all these teams, Dave, do you have a sense of who you think is the best on paper?
It's really hard. And I look, I think this is a league where in a normal year, it's sometimes tough to project because as a general manager once said to me when he was being very critical of somebody in the media who had criticized his team, just because you've never heard of a guy on our team doesn't mean he's not any good. You know, and there is a point to that, right? That a lot of these guys have been stars elsewhere. And there's just some time to adapt to the Canadian Football League, and some of them do quickly, and some it takes longer. But it depends on the team. Like, I can look at, you know, Winnipeg or Hamilton's rosters, which are largely intact from what we saw last spring, or a year and a half ago, and projected those teams, you know, what I think of those teams. If I look at Ottawa's roster, you know, and half the guys on the team I've never heard of, the guys that are coming straight out of college, you know, it's a lot more difficult. There are just so many variables into this season, guys. I think you take the normal turnover of a football season that involves, you know, retirements, free agency, cuts, and you multiply that times two. Then you factor in that other than a small handful of guys who played college football last fall or in the NFL, nobody's played football in 20 months. Then you throw in no preseason games. Then you throw in the various fitness levels that players showed up to training camp with, which in some cases was not so great. Some of them didn't even have access to gyms till a couple of weeks before training camps began. There are a number of variables that go into this that are beyond those of a normal regular season.
It's just, it is amazing. I'm looking through the rosters trying to figure out where everybody's at and how it fits together. You know, that's for a, you know, a fan or a media member. How about the coaches? You know, they haven't had their teams together for 2 years. They're trying to figure this out. How much is it just a big puzzle for them to see, you know, who they have, what they can do, how they're feeling physically, all that stuff? It must just be, they must not be sleeping, these coaches.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think there's a few reasons here. And this is where, look, I think a lot of fans don't necessarily miss preseason games. I didn't know I missed preseason games until they took them away. I actually would have liked to see a depth chart and watch some guys, you know, perform. But I think that there's a couple of things that made it really difficult on coaches. One is not having preseason games, particularly when you're talking about players that haven't played in the league before and you want to see how they're going to react, how their instincts when they get into the Canadian field. The other part of it is, of course, there's restrictions that have to do with the number of days that you can have contact in training camp. So, you know, that may not be so difficult when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks or receivers, but when you're talking about offensive and defensive linemen, I mean, you know, you really don't get that much opportunity to have full contact. So, again, preseason games are often what sort of separate and show guys in that regard, and we haven't been able to have that. So I think the coaches are kind of flying blind in this way. I mean, you know, another factor is, you know, what is – a year and a half, and we know football players, age is a big part of football. When you get into your age starting with three, you know, people look at it and put a bullseye in your back and say, well, this guy's going to need to be replaced. But how do football players age when they don't play? Is it, and what about a guy who had a breakout season in 2019 and somebody that you're looking to continue where he left off, but now he hasn't played in a year and a half? I think all those things are very difficult for coaches to try and project, and which is why we're all expecting a lot of surprises once the regular season gets going tomorrow night.
Dave Naylor joins us. And Dave, well, the other thing is some of these coaching staffs are even smaller than they were prior, and you have a lot more unknown. Like, I just wonder, you know, if we're just going to see some, you know, some mistake-filled games, which makes for better entertainment early on in the season, when you combine, you know, 21 months off, some smaller scouting staffs, and lots of new players in the league.
Yeah, I think you can. Like, look, unpredictability in any sport is often, you know, makes it more entertaining. As we know, sometimes, you know, whatever sport we're talking about, you know, perfect defensive hockey, basketball, baseball is not the best. We like to see breakdowns, right? Same thing in football. Breakdowns make exciting plays. They make big plays. And in that regard, you could see a version of the game that is highly unpredictable and highly entertaining. The other part of it is just, you know, how much synchronicity these guys are going to will have had during the time that they've been together, not having preseason games and the turnover. And you know, talking to a coach yesterday who said he thinks the tackling is going to be pretty horrendous because nobody's done it really. I mean, you don't. There's not a lot of tackling that goes on in training camp. So, you know, they've had some scrimmages and things like that, but just that is a basic skill. I mean, it's a fundamental skill of football. So I think we may see elements of the game that are very entertaining because of the unpredictability, but I also think we may see some football that looks pretty ragged out of the chute.
Tom, is that Dave Naylor from TSN, a Football Insider? Dave, you know, the announcement came out regarding the percentage of vaccines or vaccinated players on your team and what that could mean if a game is you know, having to, you know, be forfeit because of an outbreak of COVID. What's the reaction been like that for the players as they're coming to grips with what that might look like if they are not vaccinated, depending on their own personal beliefs?
You know, we've seen some players that have spoken out on Twitter, you know, not liking this policy. We haven't heard a lot from those who like it. And I think there probably are a lot that do. I mean, the majority of players in the CFL are vaccinated. I believe that as of last Friday, which was the cutdown day, it was 79% of the league had at least one shot. Three of the teams were above 85%. Six of them were below, the lowest one being, I believe, 71%. The league's trying to get everybody to 85. So, yeah, look, I think one of the things that the league needs before it can lower the restrictions the players are going to be under so they can have normal lives, you know, go to a restaurant with their families and do things with their teammates and not have to be masked up everywhere in the facility, is they're going to have to get that vaccination rate up. So I'm sure the players who've gone ahead and got vaccinated and believe in that and want to be able to do some things with their families and also would like to be guaranteed of getting paid. I mean, that's what the league laid out essentially, is if your team has more than 85% of its players with at least his first vaccine shot, you're getting paid for every game, whether that game is played, canceled, whatever, whether the outbreak was on another team, whether it was on your team, you're getting paid. And if you're below 85 and a game is canceled, even if the outbreak is on another team, you're not getting paid. So the league has laid out a pretty strong incentive here, and I think there are a lot of players that would be supportive of it because they want to be guaranteed that they're going to be paid, and they believe in the science. There are some that don't. And look, I it's funny. Every once in a while, you put out a tweet that gets a much stronger reaction than you expect. And I put out a tweet last night, like as I was watching the preview shows, and just kind of grabbed my phone and noticed some of the backlash about vaccines from some players and certainly some fans. And I said, look, players have a right not to get vaccinated. Fans have a right not to get vaccinated. But here is the honest truth. The only reason we're talking about playing a 2021 CFL season is because of the vaccines. If there's no vaccines, there's no season. I mean, that's why they're playing. So players and fans can be against them, but they should also understand that's the only reason there is a season. And it was weird. That tweet like took off like crazy. Sometimes it just happens. You guys know how it goes.
Dave Naylor from TSN joins us. So Dave, let's talk about the Elks a little bit. What do you make of their offensive line if Sir Vincent Rogers isn't ready?
Well, they are like a few teams that have got some injuries in that regard. And I guess when you look at the fact that they signed Matt O'Donnell, you know, right before the season, and I know there were some other teams that were talking to him, you know, that looks like an important decision as well. But, you know, this is going to be, again, because we haven't had much contact, you know, during training camp. We haven't had the preseason games. Most teams, it seems, are doing some patching along the offensive line. And Edmonton lost some guys early. And, you know, there's the whole Derek Dennis situation that's out there as well that's kind of, sort of hanging over this team, whether or not they're going to trade him. He says he wants to be traded. Earlier, he wanted to be released, or he wants to be released still. But that is definitely, I think there's a number of teams in the league that have that question. Edmonton has that question. Saskatchewan has that question. Ottawa has those questions. Those are three teams I can think of right off the bat that have issues with offensive line pertaining to injuries or guys that, you know, were unavailable that they thought before the start of training camp that they were going to have for the start of the season.
When you look around the CFL, is there a quarterback that you feel is best situated or best set up to have a strong start to the season with maybe some familiarity with his receiving core and offensive line?
You know, I think one of the guys that everybody's really curious to see if he can take that next step is Vernon Adams in Montreal. And they do have a fair amount of continuity. They've had some changes in their offensive line. I mean, they had Trey Rutherford, who was one of their starters, who retired. during the time that we've been away. But they brought back pretty much the same group of receivers, at least among their imports, and their offensive line is still pretty solid. And the Vernon Adams, people forget, this guy was not a starter in week number one last year. You know, he went to training camp last year as number three or maybe even number four. And you know, just the way things happened, you know, he got his opportunity. And we've seen this so often in the CFL, guys, it all of a sudden it just clicks. I mean, Vernon Adams was a star at Oregon. I mean, there was no question this guy was talented enough playing the CFL. The question is, would he be patient enough? Would teams be patient enough with him? And would there be a time where it just kind of clicks and he gets it? And that really happened for Vernon Adams last year. I mean, Montreal was a 10-win team. They go back to the playoffs for the first time in 5 years. You know, he's certainly somebody that I think there has a potential to kind of take that next step. But, you know, when you mention quarterbacks, there's a lot of intrigue around so many of them because so few guys played a full season last year. I mean, you know, Trevor Harris would be one of the very few who played. You know, I think he might have missed a game, but he had a full resume. But you look at, you know, Mike Riley ended the year on the shelf. He played most of the season, but he got hurt at the end of the year. Bo Levi Mitchell played 12 games. Nick Arbuckle played 7. Matt Nichols played 9. Zach Caleros played 4, including playoffs. You know, Dane Evans played whatever it was, you know, half of the season in Hamilton. Jeremiah Mazzoli played the first half. This is, you know, we did the top 50 CFL players show last night, and I know it, in terms of voting for that, it was really difficult because you had so many half-season bodies of work among quarterbacks. And so I think there's a lot of quarterbacks sort of with a lot to prove just based on it was basically the year of two quarterbacks for every team that quarterbacks were going down left and right. And the backups really, really played well. So, you know, that made the quality of the games very good because there wasn't a great drop-off. But I think there's a lot of guys that have a lot to prove over doing it over an entire season. But Vernon Adams is the one I think that people are most curious about to see, you know, if he can evolve into the legitimate superstar that he showed signs of being in 2019.
Dave, for fun, who's going to be in the Grey Cup?
You know, this is going to sound really lazy because I always hate this when you watch a preview show and the person gets asked and they say the same two teams as last year because it always feels to me like, you know, they didn't know their homework. They're just going with what, you know, they're flash. But I actually have thought about this. I can't make a case against Hamilton in the East. I mean, they're 15-3 team last year. They lost one game after August 1st in the regular season last year, and it was by 1 point to Calgary. I mean, they have both of their quarterbacks back in Dane Evans and Jeremiah Mazzoli, so they've got security at that position. They kept their coaching staff intact. And when you look at, you know, we don't really know what Toronto's going to be. It looks like a CFL All-Star team, but is that going to, on paper, lots of teams look great that way, but we have to see what they are. You know, Ottawa is going to be young, and Montreal is trying to take that next step. I can't get past Hamilton in the East. The West is harder to predict, but, you know, if Zach Caleros can stay healthy for Winnipeg, I think Winnipeg's got about a half dozen players on their team that had kind of part-time roles last season that are going to get opportunities to do more. And I think that's one of the things we often evaluate teams on who's gone and who's arrived, but we don't look at players that are already there that are going to get bigger opportunities. And I think Winnipeg's got a lot of guys that they've been grooming that you know, may be able to show what they can do and keep that team near the top. So I am going with a combination, with a repeat of a Winnipeg Hamilton Grey Cup. You know what? I'm going to say Winnipeg repeats.
Jeez.
Oh, there you go.
Not a popular pick right now. Lots of Hamilton. Lots of Hamilton on the preview show last night.
Oh, I bet you. Well, there you go. Dave, we look forward to talking to you all year long. Have a great day.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks. Looking forward to it. See ya.